This podcast was recorded on April 21st, 2020. It reflects our views at the time of the recording and should be used as reference only. We recommend that you talk to your Warren Averett advisor or another business advisor for the most current information or for guidance specific to your organization.
Welcome to The Wrap, a Warren Averett podcast for business leaders designed to help you access vital business information and trends when you need it so you can listen, learn, and then get on with your day. Time is tight. That's why our advisors have wrapped up today's most timely topics into a podcast with actionable advice. Now, let's get down to business.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Kim.
How are you today?
I am doing well. I hope you are.
I am. I'm really enjoying having these conversations almost on a daily basis now.
Absolutely. Always look forward to them. It's the highlight of my day.
So we've been recording these special episodes of The Wrap. We started this several weeks ago when the coronavirus impact was first starting to be felt here in the United States. And we have just continued to put these episodes out really in response to what we're hearing from our clients in terms of issues that they are facing and decisions that they're having to make. And we're just trying to get the information out as quickly as we can to them to help them make the best, most informed decisions possible. And today is just a continuation of that. And really, today's episode is focused more on the investing side. Some of our episodes in the past have been around cost containment and working capital, also some focused on the human component to this crisis. And so this one is going to really dive into the investment side of things.
Absolutely. And we've got two really good guys from our asset management group with us today. Joseph McNair is a senior client consultant with Warren Averett Asset Management. He's a certified financial planner and an attorney who's licensed in both Florida and Georgia. And he's also a CPA. Joining Joseph is Jonathan Osborne. Jonathan is out of our Birmingham office and serves as a daily 401k operations manager for Warren Averett Asset Management with experience working in the retirement plan industry. Joseph, Jonathan, glad y'all are with us today.
Thank you guys very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So Joseph, we'll start with you. I think any of us that are following the stock market are realizing the volatility and the uncertainty in today's market. So what is your message to clients who might be anxious about that volatility?
Kim, you're absolutely right. The anxiety is out there and it's real, and we're hearing it from our clients, like I'm sure you're hearing it from yours. The best message I can share is really advice one of my partners has summed up as good as anybody. It's, remember, we've planned for this. With each of our clients, we work through a long-term financial plan. And in that plan, we test a series of Monte Carlo analyses. And that analysis helps us factor in good periods like we saw in 2019 and 2017 and bad periods like we're experiencing right now. So that market volatility is a part of the plan. So remember to be mindful of that. Understand that we can't predict where the market is in the short term. And what we do know is that we factor in that risk as we put together long-term financial plans. And if your long-term picture hasn't changed, don't adjust your long-term plan based on these short-term phenomena. That's our best advice to clients right now.
Joseph, those are some really good points for folks to think about. And as we look at the volatility of the market that everybody is dealing with, legislation has been put out in the form of the CARES Act. And I think it'd be interesting to kind of hear, you know, what do business owners and retirement plan sponsors need to be doing or need to be aware of as it relates to that? Jonathan, from a retirement plan participant sponsor perspective, can you kind of tell us what those provisions of the CARES Act are?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the publicity of the CARES Act was understandably, you know, the stimulus and the paycheck program and just to keep businesses running. But there is some substantial legislation that increases some flexibility for the use of corporate retirement plans or even IRAs. So one of those is there's a brand new type of distribution that individuals can take who claim they're impacted by the virus. And it's called a coronavirus-related distribution. So essentially, the bill said up to $100,000, if you self-certify that you're impacted, you can take up to $100,000 across any of your plans that you participate in and receive favorable tax treatment, at least on the front end. It's all the way through 2020. And typically with, you know, I'm mostly 401k plans, what I deal with, typically with 401k plans, we're required to withhold 20% federal withholding on the front end when somebody takes a distribution. That is waived as part of this distribution. It defaults to a 10% withholding, but can be as little as zero. If an individual says, I don't want any taxes withheld, I need some money now, I've been laid off due to the virus, there doesn't have to be taxes withheld. Now, there are still income taxes on it when they file their taxes, but something unique about this as well is that tax can be spread over 3 years as opposed to just 1 year. And additionally, if somebody says, you know what, I took this money, I ended up not needing it like I thought I was going to, that distribution can actually be repaid back into their 401k plan or another retirement plan that they may be participating in. So that's one of the big flexibilities that it can kind of serve as a life raft for people who might have been impacted by the virus. There's some new loan provisions as well. Typically, the largest loan you can take from your 401k is $50,000. That has been temporarily increased to $100,000. You know, there's a lot to be said about that. There's probably not going to be a ton of individuals who just immediately jump and say, I want a $100,000 loan. That's a pretty big leap, but somebody might be willing to do so. You can also delay loan payments for up to a year. We've already had many participants reach out to us and say, I've been impacted by this. Look, I have a loan on the books already. It doesn't have to be a new loan. I'd prefer to not make loan payments for a year. That's part of this provision as well that we've already seen people take advantage of. And one of the last ones I want to touch on is across the board, not even just individuals who claim they've been impacted by the virus, but this is just across the board. There's no RMD, required minimum distribution requirement anymore for 2020. That's across defined contribution plans, so profit sharing, 401k plans, 403bs, as well as IRAs. The thought process there is, unless your head's been in the sand, you've seen what the market's done the last couple months, but the RMDs are calculated based on the prior year in balance. So December 31st, 2019, before the dip hit. So the government's saying people are already suffering enough. They've already just watched their retirement balance, go down more than they were anticipating. We don't want them to also sell out at the bottom based on their December 31st, 2019 balance. So there's a reprieve from RMDs for 2020.
Why would an employer choose not to adopt these provisions?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because on the surface, it seems, hey, this is flexibility. People are hurting. Why wouldn't somebody do this? And in reality, there are some really good reasons why, or at least some precautions an employer may want to take before just jumping in head first into all of these changes. The first is some individuals may panic. There's a lot people are worrying about right now, and they may deplete their retirement funds more than they really need to. And I'm sure, Joseph can touch on this more, or he's kind of already touched on it some, but if you withdraw a decent amount, you've got 20 years, 30 years to retirement, you may never make up that $50,000 that you took out, that you may not have ultimately needed. So there is some responsibility on the sponsor, the 401k plan sponsor, to do what is in the best interest for the employees of their company. So that may be keeping them from themselves if they may not need the money. So that's one reason they may not want to. Another one is, and we've experienced this with several of our clients, which at first kind of surprised me. I assumed everybody would just opt into these provisions. But what we've observed is a lot of our clients have said, hey, we haven't been impacted yet, or they're in an industry where they're just business as usual, or their employee base, nobody is sick, nobody's claimed they've been impacted. So our sponsors have said, is there any harm in waiting? The answer is no. If your business has not been impacted yet and your staff has not been impacted, just sit tight. You can still adopt these provisions. The amendments aren't required actually until 2022 for most plans. You can just say, hey, October, November, if something happens this year, okay, you can opt in then. So there's no rush to do any of this until you're actually impacted. I touched on one of the new provisions is expanded loans, larger loans, delayed loan payments, et cetera. A lot of retirement plans don't have a loan provision as part of their plan document. there's some administrative work. There's somebody in their payroll department who has to make sure loans are pulled from people's paychecks correctly, that they are transmitted to the provider correctly, that they're not missed and the loans end up being defaulted and treated as a taxable distribution. So just to put it very plainly, there's a lot of administrative work for some of these provisions that an employer may not just want to say, yep, sign me up for that. So those are some of the reasons that an employer may choose to either sit tight or just may sit this out entirely if they have not been impacted.
That's an interesting two sides of the same coin there, Jonathan, talking about what they can do and what they, if they don't need to do it. I know you kind of touched on a little bit from Joseph's first comment on, you know, remember we plan for this. This is a long-term plan. So Joseph, thinking about some of those other proactive steps that clients and investors can take today to position themselves for that long-term financial success, what are some of those areas?
Yeah, thank you, Paul. There certainly are some proactive steps that both individuals and business owners really can take. Jonathan, I love that you mentioned that you're seeing clients that haven't been impacted. I think that's true both from, at least economically impacted, both from our business clients and our individual clients at this point. Not everyone has felt an economic impact. In fact, some clients may find themselves, individuals may find themselves, if their income hasn't been impacted, the other side of their budget, their expenses likely have. We're all stuck at home and not going out and spending money the way that we have. So you actually may find yourself with a bit of a cash surplus. So, you know, if you haven't had the economic impact yet, you may have the opportunity to reset your balance sheet. And the first step of those is to build your cash reserve. So one of the first steps we advise clients to do is to build an emergency reserve or a cash reserve that's 3 to 6 months of their monthly expenses set aside in an account that isn't subject to market risk. It's there for an emergency. It's an emergency reserve account. If you find yourself in the fortunate opportunity to reset your balance sheet, consider rebuilding your cash reserves or building an emergency fund that is 3 to 6 months. That same opportunity may apply to your business clients. If you've got an opportunity to rebuild your cash reserves, now's a good time to do it. Another real opportunity here with resetting your balance sheet is to look at the debt side. We're in historically low interest rate environment right now, and that has provided the opportunity for refinancing debt. And that can come in a variety of forms, whether it's refinancing on similar terms and reducing the monthly outlay so that you do free up some cash flow, or even shortening the terms. So, you know, you may find yourself where you were in a 30-year debt, but maybe you knocked 15 years off your home mortgage by refinancing to a 15-year because rates are really attractive right now. So some real opportunities to consider resetting your balance sheet, both for individuals and for businesses. A second opportunity kind of aligned with resetting your balance sheet is to rebalance your portfolio. As stock markets, the stock market has taken more of the negative impact of the volatility than the bond market has. So as a result, stocks are likely a lower percentage of your portfolio than bonds are as compared to your prior allocations. So if your target allocation was 60-40, you may find yourself now with 55% stocks and 45% fixed income. And now's a good opportunity to sell that 5% extra fixed income, buy 5% equity or stocks, and get back to target your 60% stock to 40% fixed income target. So a good opportunity there to rebalance your portfolio. And finally, I'd say be mindful of other aspects of your financial plan. What tends to get all the attention right now while we're in these volatile times are your cash flow and what's going on with my investment portfolio. But we take a comprehensive approach to financial planning, and the other aspects of your financial planning, like your estate plan, risk management, education funding, and tax planning, those things still all warrant your attention now. So don't lose sight of that while we're being singularly focused on cash flow and investment management.
Want to receive a monthly newsletter with Wrap topics? Head on over to warrenaverett.com/thewrap and subscribe to our email list to have it delivered right to your inbox.
So Joseph gave us some really good suggestions and opportunities in terms of individuals making adjustments to better prepare for long-term financial success. But as a business owner, you may be faced with some decisions that have to be made now that are difficult decisions, but that impact the future success of the business going forward. And so what does a business owner or a plan sponsor need to know before deciding to either suspend their contributions or minimize that, reduce them? What are the things that they need to know?
Yeah, so this the employer contribution for the corporate retirement plan may be one of the things that employers look at cutting back on. We've observed it with some of our clients already. The first thing that they should do is check their plan document. And if they're not sure about any of it, talk to their service provider. What they are required to do versus what they is optional is in their plan document. So I can't stress that enough. But there's a difference. I'm going to talk just about, you know, a discretionary employer match. So for every dollar an employee puts in, maybe they get 50 cents in a match from the employer. And if their plan document reads that it is a discretionary match, then it is very likely they can just stop making it. They're not even technically required to provide any official notification. We tell our clients, you know, to build goodwill, give people a heads up, maybe even put a date in the future that you're going to stop. But it's not a technical requirement if the contribution is strictly discretionary. So that's the quickest and easiest potential avenue if you're looking to cut costs related to a retirement plan. The second type of contribution is a required contribution, and it can take several different forms. But let's just say, for example, many of you are familiar or sponsor safe harbor plans. A safe harbor contribution, whether it's a match or just a non-elective contribution, is required to be made. If you need to stop it, or if you're choosing to stop it, you have to provide a 30-day notice that has to be disseminated to all the participants, and either one of the following. Either you have to prove that you're operating at a loss, at an economic loss as a company, or the second, which is much more likely, the annual safe harbor notice that you provided the prior year must have language that says the employer may suspend the safe harbor match. That is far more common than having to prove that you're operating at a loss. But I wanted to make sure, if you're not sure and you're considered doing this, check the language in your safe harbor notice. If that's in there, provide a 30-day notice. You can stop making a safe harbor contribution after those 30 days. Now, there's a lot of potential gotchas, the best way I can think to say it, where you think, okay, short term, we got to save money. Let's do this. If you're a safe harbor plan, the fact that you make a safe harbor contribution each year alleviates your requirement to make some annual non-discrimination testing every year. I'm not going to get into the details of all that. You are not listening to this podcast to learn about non-discrimination testing. But what that results in sometimes are owners or other highly compensated employees receiving refunds from the amounts they contributed throughout the year. If you all of a sudden stop being safe harbor, you may need to check who's going to be impacted. Is the business owner or is my top sales guy going to have to get a refund of his money? That's a consideration, and it should be looked at. Your provider could likely provide a projection for you at what that might look like. The second potential negative of ceasing a safe harbor is check your plan's top-heavy status. That is yet another non-discrimination annual testing term. But essentially, if a plan is deemed to be top-heavy and is not safe harbor, then individuals employed on the last day of the year have to receive a 3% contribution anyway from the employer. So there is a chance that if you stop a safe harbor, that the top-heavy minimum contribution would actually be more expensive than if you just continued making the safe harbor contribution. So that is, if you want to star an item to look at with your service provider, if you're considering doing this, it is, what is my top heavy percentage? Because it could certainly backfire. So then those are some avenues that, depending on your plan type and your provisions, can be quick and easy to cut some costs, or could potentially be a little more involved. But both avenues could be some potential cost cutting measures.
So I remember my days as a auditor of retirement plans, there was always the first question, one of the first questions you ask when you're doing that is, you know, have you had any significant staffing reductions within your plan during the year? Because that can have some effects that you have to make sure are going into place. And so on our human capital conversation, you know, we know in this downturn that sometimes that staffing reductions will occur. I assume from your aspect of this, that there might be some significant impacts to retirement plans should that occur.
Yeah, that's right. So even before this really took off, or when the CARES Act was passed, we started to hear from some clients who were either thinking about some layoffs or considering it and just wanted to know, hey, how does this impact our retirement plan? The first thing to clarify is, what is actually happening? If you're talking about a staffing reduction, a furlough, an hours reduction, whatever it may be, is be very clear with your retirement plan providers what is actually happening. What I've observed in talking to different sponsors is they're all using these words interchangeably, furlough, layoff, cutback, but they all mean things very differently. Sometimes what's actually happening is, hey, we're having to fire a bunch of people, but terming it as a layoff, a cutback or something is just kind of an easier way to communicate it. But it is critical that you explain to your service provider what is actually happening. So let's assume there's a significant layoff. People are losing their jobs. You're having to terminate individuals. Typically in retirement plans, if 20% of your staff is involuntarily terminated, then anybody who terminates in that plan year is immediately 100% vested in their employer contribution. You know, typically they're tied to a 5 or 6 year vesting schedule. So what happens there is, you know, the plan's forfeiture account, which oftentimes can be used to pay plan expenses or to offset employer contributions, all of a sudden that's kind of dried up because everybody is deemed 100% vested. So that's something that could play out if you go through a significant termination event. I will say, just as a caveat, there's some of the industry lobbyists right now for the retirement plan industry are really pushing to get in the next round of legislation, or even the one after that, if this continues on. They're asking for a reprieve for any partial plan terminations for 2020. That may not happen, but that's a big push right now. The thought process is employers are hurting if they also lose the use of forfeitures that they could otherwise pay expenses, then it's just a double whammy. So as of today, April 21st, partial plan terminations are still a possibility, but there is a chance with future legislation that may be removed from the table.
So Jonathan, that's a good segue. There are some hard decisions that employers are making, and there are people that are finding themselves in a position that maybe they hadn't planned for when they've been laid off, or maybe it's the entrepreneur who invested a significant amount of money in building their business, and the timing just hit in a way that now they find themselves in a financial emergency where all of a sudden they've had to shut their business down and they don't have that income coming in that they had planned on. So, Joseph, do you have any advice for steps that they can take to ease this burden?
We do, Kim. And we certainly want to be mindful that financial emergencies are real. And there are certainly a number of people in our society today that are finding themselves in just that emergency. So our advice, and kind of in this order, is first and foremost to use that cash reserve. I talked in the earlier conversation about the importance of building a 3 to 6 month cash reserve. Know that this is exactly that opportunity why we were saving it. This is that emergency that we were saving for. So don't be afraid to tap that savings and to utilize that to relieve the emergency. So first and foremost, look to the cash that you have on hand that's set aside specifically for emergency. Second, I mentioned earlier that we're in a historically low interest rate environment. The other fortunate part of that is that real estate values to date have held up pretty well. So you may find yourself in an opportunity to access home equity. So if you're fortunate to have already established a home equity line of credit, it may be a good opportunity to access that line of credit as kind of the second layer of emergency funding. So you've gone through your cash reserves, and then it's an attractive time to borrow. So look now to your home equity line as an opportunity to relieve some of that. And if you haven't established a home equity line, know that there could still be an opportunity to apply for one. banks, of course, are extremely busy. This wave of home refinancing and opening home equity lines was in full speed right before this CARES legislation created the PPP loans and the other opportunities that have kept banks super busy since that legislation has passed. So it would be a difficult time to establish a home equity line if you haven't yet, but if you have or if you can, consider that as a way to bridge this gap. And then lastly, the two provisions that Jonathan mentioned, primarily to employers, the provisions of the CARES Act that expand 401k loans and that create this 401k coronavirus disbursements. As a general rule, we recommend accessing your 401k funds pre-retirement only as a measure of last resort. So, you know, we said at the very beginning of the podcast not to disrupt your long-term plan to the extent you can avoid it, which is why we generally recommend against drawing from your 401k plan. But this could be that emergency where it just is warranted. And if that's the case, know that the CARES Act provides more favorable terms for 401k loans and the opportunity to repay those over a six-year period. It also creates this coronavirus disbursement that isn't subject to the 10% hardship withdrawal, and you also get the opportunity to repay that over a three-year period or stretch the tax repayment over a three-year period. So there are some attractive opportunities there. Again, a measure of last resort, but you just may find yourself in that financial emergency and know that these steps, particularly in this order, may be just the right way to ease that burden a little.
So Joseph, here on the wrap, we'd like to wrap it up in 60 seconds. What are the couple things you want the listeners to leave with today about our conversation?
So I think we've covered the big topics. You know, if anything, want to summarize just to bring it all full circle. First, remember that we've planned for this. You know, that is kind of first and foremost. Know that long-term financial planning is about being prepared for the unexpected. So we've planned for this. Second, I'd say to be proactive to the extent possible. If you have the capacity to increase the flexibility for yourself and your employees through changes to your 401k plan, give some consideration to those steps that Jonathan mentioned and understand that flexibility is at a premium right now. So to the extent you're able to do that, that's a great move. And then finally, to use the opportunity to reset your own balance sheet. So much attention is paid to your business, but know that your personal balance sheet, this could be an opportunity for you to address your personal balance sheet needs as well.
Hey, Joseph and Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us today. And thanks for this conversation. I think that we've left the listeners with a lot of good things to take into consideration.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you both for having us.
And that's a wrap. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave a review on your streaming platform. To check out more episodes, subscribe to our podcast series, or make a suggestion for other topics to cover, visit us at warrenaverett.com/thewrap.